A lot of theories. David Cook says Jerry Jones is talking about the hole in the stadium. God watching down.
Nope.
Glory hole.
Nope.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
That's one of my favorite sound bites of all time.
Well, just that phrase itself leads you to believe he is speaking his own language half the time. He really
he's
is.
Just making stuff
well,
up.
Well, I just think that's how. Am I right?
Like, I like your attitude, dude. Come in.
I just think he speaks a different language.
There it was. Glory hole.
What?
Jim says a glory hole is always when the check's clear for Jerry Jones.
Settle down just a little bit.
How did that thing make, how did those save during the transfer?
But all the other stuff went up into the ether.
Listen, we have to prioritize, highest, you get the red, exclamation points, do not, under any circumstances.
Those are in the glory hole. That's where they find those.
Yeah. Delete Jerry Jones drops.
I love that.
Glory hole.
Don't forget, tomorrow, we will be, not there, but we will be at Cousins.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, we will be at Cousins in Tinley Park. So if you're in your car now, you're in the south suburbs, and you want to be with us at this time tomorrow, make sure you remember to join us 2 to 6 at Cousins. Ice Cold Miller Lite will be giving away Sox tickets. It will be a great, great time. Brian in Villa Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Hey, I got Cappy winning this one. I know in 2022 he's going to lose some points for that, but the argument was just a landslide that, The guy was going nowhere there. It's like standing in the middle of the ring with your eyes closed.
I thought the content, definitely. I agree with you on that front. The Cap definitely won the content argument because I just disagreed with Lee Allen. But I think the essence of when we were scoring the fight, I think we were shocked by the number of deductions that we were forced to make.
Yes.
As judges.
Did Cap make any counterpoints?
That's all I'm saying is his point was he doesn't believe the Bears are good.
Well, but when a guy says to you they're a top five defense and a top five offense, do you really need to go into detail as to why you don't believe or your evidence? Do I need to give you a...
Well, Durkin gave you one. Durkin said to you, hey, the Bears aren't strong up front. I don't see them really strong on the line. He didn't make a real argument, Cap. He just tried to degrade Lee Allen.
I just disagree.
Yeah, when your only defense, the one guy comes out flailing with a bunch of punches that don't land, but your only response is to throw low blows and hit him in the groin, it's not really a counterpunch.
Well, did Lee Allen give you any evidence as to why
he was flailing,
the number five?
But Cap was not landing any punches.
He was watching film.
Another guy watching film.
He was at the practice. He went to the practice. Greg says the producer bus tossing isn't a negative for Cap. That's separate. The fight is Cap versus Lee Allen. Context of the argument is a plus for Cap. Mental health comment is a negative for Cap. Lee Allen's North Shore comment is a negative. The Cap man wins the bout by one.
Ooh, okay, that's different. Listen, I included the swipes at Shea as points deducted.
Right.
I took two away. He took a swipe at Shea twice.
And he was, he's getting distracted by stuff that shouldn't matter in the fight.
I just think you don't take a swipe at, that wasn't Shea's fault.
Chase on the south side. Chase, really quick, because we got Jesse, so get right to your point.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was just trying to say, I actually called in earlier, and I actually agreed. I kind of thought Dude was kind of out of line, but then also thought Cap, because one time Cap actually hung up on me when I agreed with the Bears team. So either way, neither one was. Because he hung up on me when I said the Bears won the Super Bowl, but I was just playing, though, but he hung up on me. So neither one was, both of that fault on both ends. So okay. You got something to do.
Thanks, Chase. Right. The good thing is I don't have the capacity to hang up on anyone. So if you ever blame me for hanging up on anyone, nobody in this building would trust me with those buttons, thankfully.
Yeah.
So I'm not in charge of that.
Mo in Frankfurt, we don't have time for show notes. Just score the fight for us, Mo.
I'm not doing no more show notes for you guys. That's reserved for Black and Abdullah. But I do. Hey, nice to meet you guys at the Hard Rock
Cafe. It was great to see you.
At the Hard Rock. Yes, it was awesome. I've been listening to you guys, obviously, forever, but got hooked by you guys. But the morning show, what's going on with them? What happened? Are they still drinking that cream that got spoiled and putting it in their coffee? Because they've been cranky. And I called yesterday, And I just told them their show's awesome. You guys sound like Black and Abdullah. So I called in, you know, and they're like, got real mad at me. And they start, oh, we're always fun, this and that. I was like, yeah, I know, but, you know, they're fun too. So then whatever, I told them about the, you know, we were talking about the what you guys were talking about. So they stole your segment, put it on their morning show. And then they start saying, about talking about, like, having, you know, doing it in the stadiums or doing it whatever. And you know, I was going to tell them where I've done it and whatever. So, but they got real mad at me for, you know. And then after they hung up on me, and they said, oh, well, we're going to do a, they start naming all the segments throughout the shows and say, oh, we're going to make, instead of the night songs, they're going to be called morning, the song of the morning, or they're going to call Zoo News. And they say, oh, we should start doing this. Oh, we should start talking to radio. So they start slamming on the Black and Abdullah show. I'm like, what's going on with these guys? And now this whole Lee Allen thing? What's the matter, man? Somebody got to give these guys a hug.
You got to call them tomorrow, Mo, yeah, and express your thoughts to them.
Give them a hug.
Yeah, I'm not going to. No.
I'm calling them. You don't call you guys.
Listen,
no, yeah, but don't call. You're always welcome to call us,
yes,
Mo. But
he's
if you
making
got a problem,
the point that
I
they've
get
been
it, but
grumpy.
If I had a problem with you, I'd call you. I wouldn't call Tyler. So Mo needs to call them and express himself.
But we were also asking people to analyze the fight.
I get it, but he told us that he's got a problem with those guys. You got to call him and talk it out.
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota Dealers Association. Toyota, let's go places. Did you hear the Lee Allen versus Cap fight this morning?
When you replayed it, as I was waiting to go on. So I did hear it, and I got to give it 8-7 Lee Allen, and I'll tell you why. It's close because you're allowed to call someone nuts in an argument if you're just going back and forth. But to say that Northwestern has a good mental health, like, that's a little far. Minus points there. Lee Allen wins 8-7.
Yeah. Okay. That was like fair. I think that's fair scoring, Jess.
That's good break. Yeah. Jesse was, you're still at Wrigley, right?
No, I left. Okay. I got out of there.
He's at Cap's Wisconsin house right now.
Are you back at Cap's cabin?
No, I left. I'm getting ready to watch a little White Sox Orioles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So White Sox Orioles coming up at 5:30 on the pregame. Cubs lost today, 8-3 the final score. Marcus Stroman didn't have his best stuff. Cubs lost 3 of 5. They did take 2. I thought you go into the series finale 2-2. They beat the Brewers in a series recently. I still think they're playing overall pretty good baseball.
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about it. We talked about it last week. The arrow seems to be pointing up. We didn't know what this season was going to look like. We didn't know what the second half would look like after they traded 4 relievers. We didn't know they'd find some foundational players. However, there's always a however. Today's a good example. Like, Marcus Stroman isn't a number one, not just because he struggled today, but I think we all know that. He's not a number one. They need to find a number one if they really want to move this thing towards a contending situation. Even bigger than that, think about Paul Goldschmidt. That's an MVP candidate, putting up MVP numbers. Nolan Arenado, same thing. Who on the Cubs can do that? Even as we look at this thing a year or two from now, is Morel that guy? Is Suzuki? And I've been high on Suzuki, but I think we've seen his ceiling this year at least. Maybe he'll improve as he learns the league more, but that's what they're missing. There's a nice little core of foundational players who, by the way, I talked to scouts, and nobody is saying, oh, Justin Steele's faking it. That's just a one-year wonder. Nobody's saying Morel can't be a major league player. You know what I'm saying? Like, the things we're seeing are real, but they are missing the top-end prospects or players on their team to really vault this thing into another level. So I like where they're going, but they've got to find, for lack of a better word, stars. They have to find stars. Maybe there's one in the making somewhere, but I don't necessarily see it right now.
That's where I'm going. And I know you don't study the farm system, but Canario, the kid they got from San Francisco, they got a pitcher as well, Killian. But what is Canario possibly that guy that we looked at when we were watching Baez in the minors, when we were watching KB come up? Guys who are putting up big-time numbers. He's up to AAA right now. Could he possibly be a difference-making player?
Well, I'll pivot and say that Brennan Davis was that guy until he got hurt. He was the guy that had potential star on him, which he still could be. But he got slowed down by injury. I don't know anyone else I could say that about right now. In talking to scouts and our prospect guru, whether it be ESPN or elsewhere, they all say the same thing. It's a good farm system, but it's not top heavy. You know, you've asked me about Matt Mervis before. That's a come out of nowhere guy. Like if they found an MVP down there, it would almost be like a surprise, unless maybe it is Brennan Davis. So that's kind of where they're at. You never know. You can never say for sure. But in terms of on paper, prospect wise, it's all like Pete Crow Armstrong, good player. Canary, good player. Horner's coming up, good player, but not necessarily Paul Goldschmidt or Nolan Arenado in making here, or Chris Bryant. So they've got it. I mean, they could go out and try to find it. And I think I was asked today in a podcast, I mean, are they going to do it all in one offseason? I think you guys know that. No, it's going to be a little bit more this offseason, a little bit more next offseason, and then maybe they're fully formed. But I agree with what you said yesterday, Sylvie, 100%. You can't just go through another year of we're out of it from day one. This offseason, you have to really go into spring training saying, after this offseason, we have a chance at least at a wild card spot. Because you get a one-year reset. But that's about it in Chicago. And I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
Will they spend money? Will they? What are the odds in your world? You're setting the odds. What are the odds that they will take that approach versus not be willing to go there financially?
I think they will, but that doesn't mean all the chips get pushed in the middle. So in other words, will they spend at least on one player that they spent on Suzuki? If it's the right player and all that, yes. I think the answer is yes. They're willing to do it on Suzuki. I think they're willing to do it on someone else. Now, the question is, Trey Turner,
yes.
Aaron Judge, these guys cost you a lot more than, say, a Suzuki. So I can't answer that part of it. Jed is going to be tactical about it. But at some point, you're going to have to outbid somebody. You know, John Lester actually took less money, right? I think Jason Hayward actually took less money. So you just don't know. If someone's willing to take less money, is that who you pounce on, or do you pay max dollar? If you're piecemealing this thing, I don't see necessarily them paying max dollar right now because they're probably not ready to win a World Series, but maybe a year from now they are willing. So, Tom, the answer is yes, but I guess the you have to add on within reason, which is something they always say anyway, right?
Yeah. Jesse, how do you feel about what they're doing at Wrigley with honoring guys? I think Pat Hughes is super deserving of being in the Cubs Hall of Fame. I believe one day he's going to go into Cooperstown as a baseball announcer. I've had great experiences with Pat. I've worked with Pat before. I've got no problems there. But when Jose Cardinal is getting in as an outfielder in the Cubs Hall of Fame and they won't honor Sammy Sosa, they've got a rule like you've got to be a Cub for 5 years. Does that mean that Ben Zobrist, their World Series MVP, doesn't get to go in? They're honoring today two guys who have tortured them, and Yadi and Albert Pujols, but yet they won't allow Sammy back. I don't necessarily think that it's all bad. I think it's a nice cool move with Yadi and Pujols. We could debate that on its surface, but when you compare it to, do I know that Pujols didn't cheat? Do I know that Yadi didn't cheat? But yet, what are they doing with Sammy? And they are just completely ignoring him when they seem to be honoring every other person.
Look, I can't disagree with you, because it's one thing if writers around the nation don't want to vote him into the Hall of Fame, the real Hall of Fame, the big Hall of Fame. But Cubs Hall of Fame? I mean, come on. And the thing is, with Marquis and a losing team, I think they're always looking for some gimmicks. You know, Pat Foley, come on in. Let's honor Pat. All fine. Like you said, it's all fine. But in the dog days, you're always looking for something to provide a little juice, no pun intended. And honoring Sammy would do that. I don't get it either. We've never understood it, going back to the conventions and all that stuff. It's one thing you're not going to let him in the dugout and put on a uniform to manage. But to wave at a convention or put him into a ceremonial Hall of Fame, no statue even, just, all, you know, I don't get it either. Just a plaque on the side of the thing there. It's something we've never really gotten a great answer from Tom Ricketts about. Some sort of an apology is needed. But I'm with you. You're doing all these other things. How hard is it to throw Sammy into the Hall of Fame? There's not one fan that's going to protest that. There's not one fan that's going to care what he did 10, 15, 20 years ago. So it makes no sense to me if you're there and doing these things for fans, because that's what a Hall of Fame is for the fans. So it doesn't make any sense to me, especially now when you have your own network and you're trying to find things to do every night when you have a losing team.
Jess, you said you were settling in, getting ready for some White Sox baseball as they take on the Baltimore Orioles tonight. Where are you at with how you feel about this team at this point? And how would you describe this season in general? Obviously a disappointment, but have they become an unlikable group in the process?
It's been a little bit unwatchable. I don't know about unlikable, but the brand of baseball has been so bad and so unexpected that's probably the word I'd watch. If you're not like a diehard, it's kind of unwatchable on many nights. They're in the same place they've been for months. I mentioned this on Cap's show or Carmen's show yesterday. Like, do you feel any different than you have for the last two or three months? We've had moments. I will say, like Giolito pitching well last night, and if Lynn can pitch well tonight, if I need a sign, those are the signs I need. I don't need another good outing from Cease or whatever. You need guys that aren't performing to step up, and that's how you go on a run.
But isn't Giolito kind of a microcosm of the season? Like a good outing here, that's not going to lead you to believe that he's going to string a bunch of them together, because recent history has told you that that's just not the case. The same way as I sit and wait for them to go on some run that lasts for an extended period of time, that's just whizzing into the wind because they haven't done it.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, like, you got to start somewhere. And I don't think Giolito's fixed or anything like that, because he hasn't yet shown. He's going to have to do it three or four times in a row for us to feel better, but you have to start somewhere. And that, my point is, again, the only way to get back in this thing is on the mound. Their offense can only do so much. That is more evident than ever to me. But those five guys on the mound, we're still waiting, and I keep saying it to you guys. Just think, if they went three turns through the rotation with five good starts, I mean, they have it in them. Now Kopech's out, but certainly Giolito and Lynn have it in them, but they just, you're right, they haven't shown enough to believe that it will happen. I don't think it'll happen. I've told you for months, I don't think they're winning the division, but they can certainly continue to make it interesting if they can get some good outings from some of these guys. I just, that's the best I could say about it, but nothing's changed. It's been about the same, other than a couple jolts here or there. They play better on the road at times. We'll see what happens tonight.
Jess,
but it's one step forward, one step back. It's been that way for months.
You're loading up the "I told you so" right now, aren't you? Because weren't the Guardians the team
yes,
you told Sylvie
did,
that we're going to win
right.
this division?
He's got to wait, though.
I used up my "I told you so" on that like a week ago, so I'm not going to use that one.
Not yet.
But it's almost sad when you think about it. They're the youngest team in baseball, Cleveland. They did nothing at the deadline. They weren't even thinking about this season being a playoff year. They didn't load up. Like, they've surprised. Their attendance is terrible. Like, no one even cares, and they're going to win the division.
Well, we'll see.
Well, or they could win the division. It's just sad to think the Sox had it there for the taking.
There is good news. The Guardians are losing to Seattle 3-1 in the eighth. And if the Sox win tonight, they could, if the, all things hold, they could be within three. But still, like, they were just within one, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's like you said, one step forward, one step back, two steps forward, two steps back. Here's what can I offer you some homework? Can I give you a homework assignment?
There you go, working on the assignment desk again.
Yes. You're good at this, and you've got lots of sources, both national and local. And a lot of people have asked, with the Sox, with all these single hitters these days, with a lack of home runs, we've never been the blame the batting coach guy, but people have pointed out the history of Frank Menachino. Teams have not slugged, and they do often lead the teams in singles. Is this possibly him? Is this the approach that they've wanted? Or is this just a coincidence?
No, it's something I definitely have wanted to dive into with him himself. I looked up some of the numbers recently. I think I said to you last week, their launch angle is like at the bottom of the league. But there's these other numbers that are good, like you mentioned. I mean, their batting average is good, but their slug is down. The guy, think about this, Eloy Jimenez, when he gets a cookie, a hitter's pitch, he slugs. Like, he will launch. But not a lot of those guys on the team do that. You have to do it on a hitter's pitch. And you've got to get ready to load up and get that one. Like Chris Bryant, the launch angle is how you hit home runs. So yes, I think that is a direct line back to Menichino. It is something to definitely dive into with Han, with him himself, Frank Menichino, and other people, scouts as well.
Yeah, see what other scouts think if this is the book on him, as he ruined some of the power.
Last time I looked, they ranked 25th in launch angle. And that is telling in terms of slug and hitting home runs.
All right, really quick, Jesse, because we're just down to seconds. Yep. Any other final notes you want to relay?
Well, Jed spoke today, and he had his two top picks in. The pitching, and they were both pitchers, the top draft picks. The pitching has changed. I heard you with Kyle Hendricks. That is real. The things they have done, the people they've brought in, has been a turnover. I've heard from other teams praising the Cubs about how they've developed pitching and they're drafting pitchers. This is, it's so fascinating to me. I know we are out of time. Last time around, they bought pitching, developed hitting. This time, they're developing pitching, and they may have to buy some high-end hitting. So I think that's really interesting and something to dive into with Jed moving forward. But it is real, and it is happening, and it's good news.
Good stuff, Jesse.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, take care.
There's Jesse Rogers. Again, don't forget, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're out and about. There are very few summer Fridays left on the calendar. So it's going to be a great day tomorrow. Come on out. We're going to be in Tinley Park. The place is called Cousins. I'm told they have fantastic Chicago-style tavern pizza. My favorite.
Like that?
Yeah, that's the tavern-style pizza. To me, like we always talk about deep dish is what Chicago is known for. Tavern-style pizza is really what Chicagoans eat.
Ooh-wee!
Cousins, yes. Not that one, but Cousins, if that helps
you. You like that?
I'll tell you tomorrow if I like their pizza.
Oh, you'll eat it. Yeah, you'll like it. I know you will.
We'll be drinking ice cold Miller Lite as well. Thank you to Jesse Rogers, Dan Durkin today.
Can we get your popsicle as we leave?
And Io DeSumo. If you missed the interview, it's on the ESPN Chicago app. Great work by Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. Randy Merkin pitched in as well. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
There it was. Glory hole.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.